And welcome to another edition of Zab Chatter. Terrific guest today in our director of the senior school, Michael Islett, and we'll introduce Michael in just a moment. We've had a couple of fantastic Zab Chats this year. The feedback is fantastic. We ask you to share it with your friends. But right now, let's introduce our college captain, Gerard Crowe, and our principal, Mr. William Doherty. Bill, top of the morn.
Thanks, Shane. It's great to be here again and looking across the table at my cleanly shaven college captain. Gerard, it was obviously a great day and a great event. We might reference it a little bit later in assembly coming through. But you're proud of the boys and their efforts?
That's right. Very proud. I think we had 111 boys who shaved their heads in the end on Thursday and before that. So a fantastic event in solidarity, but also raising $100,000 as a senior
fantastic.
School.
Fantastic.
Well, it's remarkable to think there's nearly $1,000 for every boy who shaved his head. So to be well over the 100 mark is a great credit. So, but we're here joined by Director of Senior School, Mr. Michael Islett. Michael, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's a real pleasure. Now, you and I started at the same time back in 19.
Oh, wow.
Goodness gracious, I've taken us back a
feels
century.
Like that sometimes.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Michael. 2018. And obviously, there's been a lot of water that's gone under the bridge from that point forward. But maybe just as a nice sort of opener, how do you find the culture of the Xavier boys, in the present?
Look, I think the bottom line is I love coming to work every day at Xavier. I think in terms of the culture, I think the boys are really, really open. I think they're open with each other. They're open with their teachers. I think it's a place where the students like to get involved and where they like to ask questions. I think it's really interesting that when Jared got asked about the world's greatest shave, the second thing he said was how much money was raised. The first thing he said was how many students, 111 students, shaved their head. I think that's really typical twofold. Number one, it's about Jared focused on the who, not the what, and the fact that we had so many students get involved in the event was remarkable.
Really well said. Skipper?
So, Mr. Isla, I guess to kick it off, what would you say is the special formula for teaching teenage boys? How does this tie in with the Jesuit education?
I think I've been teaching boys for over 20 years now, which is a long time. And it's funny, I don't think it's necessarily by design. It's not like I woke up one day 20 years ago and said, I'm only ever going to teach boys. But I think for me, the most important formula for working with young boys or working with young men is something that I heard in my first year, actually, which was the most important thing is to get to know them, is to stand next to them and find out what it is they like. What it is that gives them passion, and acknowledge that, and use that as, I guess, as an impetus to work with them. It's funny, I was thinking about the idea of this Zab Chat and teaching boys and thinking about, and I know Mr. Doherty might make a joke at some stage, because I was thinking about teaching my class, my biz man class, a couple of years ago, which he knows I'm very passionate about. And I had a conversation with one of our year 12s. And we talked about the fact that for working with boys, I think one of the most important things is being fair. But it's understanding that being fair doesn't mean treating everybody the same. I think in our Jesuit context, the most important thing is understanding the context of the students and meeting them where they're at. I think it can be the hardest thing about teaching boys, because we don't always want to be where they're at as educators, but I think we're so lucky to have the framework of the Jesuit education, because it says to us, go and do this, go and stand in the shoes of the student and understand them. And I think that if you can do that, then I think it actually becomes pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well said, Michael. The other bit, I'm conscious we accompany superbly in so many different ways, but as educators, we're also there to challenge, to develop them and maybe to challenge them to be their best. We often speak about being the best version of themselves. And one of those, critical elements is developing their character. And there's never been probably, I think, a more crucial time. It's easy to get locked in the importance of the present, as opposed to the past eras. But, for me, developing the character of boys ready and able to meet the challenges of the world and to do that in a Jesuit way. How do you see that, and how do you think we develop boys, our boys here at Xavier?
I think, Bill, that word you used is the most important one, which is challenge. If we're going to expect our students, our boys, to go out and challenge the world or challenge the status quo, the best way for them to learn that is through example, is for us to challenge them. And I think that walking beside people actually and absolutely calls us to actually challenge them to. If we think about walking along a path with anyone, with boys, every so often we've got to stop and we've got to say to them, well, why are you doing that? And say to them, I'm not sure that you should be doing that. I said to somebody the other day, Xavier's not a place where everybody stands in the rig quad and does ring a ring around the rosy all day. It's a real place. And so that means that young people make mistakes. But what I think is so important about our school is that we take a moment to stop and we say, why have you done that this way? And then get themselves to ask themselves the exact same question. And I think the vast majority of boys, not just at Xavier, but I think we're lucky because we've got a framework to do it really well. If they can ask themselves, why did I do that? They can most of the time come to a good conclusion about what they should do next. And I think that in our culture, the fact that we challenge our students a lot is a really important thing. It means that they challenge us, though. And I think that how that manifests is they ask us questions. Why are you asking us to do it that way? And if I have somebody who walks in and says, hey, Mr. Ollett, I want to ask you why we're doing it that way, I must admit, I sit back in my chair and I go, this is awesome, because that gives us an opportunity to understand each other and for the boys to walk away, to be able to go out into the world and say, why is that particular conflict happening in the way that it's happening? Why are interest rates where they are, and how does what do I need to do to actually help those that might be really struggling with the cost of living crisis? I think that idea of challenging is the most important thing that we can do.
That's a brilliant answer, Michael. And my question sort of probably leads on from that a little bit. Right at the moment, we've got all the families who might like to send their boys in grade five in 2026 at the junior school, and of course at year seven here at the senior school. And that's a myriad of families. And what would you say to those families who haven't probably yet experienced a Jesuit education? You've taught in a series of schools over your time. How is a Jesuit school different? And what is it that makes Xavier special for those people to say, yep, that's where I want to send my boy?
Yeah, it's a good question, Shane. And I think that lots of schools will obviously try to answer that question. I think the most important thing that we have to offer as a school is the fact that we are a Jesuit school. We're a Catholic school, obviously, and I certainly have a deep vocation to Catholic education, but being at a Jesuit school is very, very unique. And I think if I had to boil it down to one thing, it's about the depth. Obviously, the Jesuits call it the idea of striving for the margis, the more. But if I was at, well, I mean, I'm often asked, because I do a lot of enrolment interviews about, you know, what do I think of the place and what do I love about the place? And I always say the boys, the students is the thing that I love the most. But if I was trying to put in a bottle what's different, it's the depth. It's the way in which we tackle issues at a deep level. I don't know, Shane, well, I'm sure you will have read Father Middleton's article last week in the newsletter about co-education.
A lot of feedback on that, actually.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised at all. But I think it just is an example of how we're really prepared to have the big conversations. And we have the big conversations with our students often. And I think that is great because it allows us to go into depth and allow them to go out and have the big conversations outside of Xavier.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Gerard, have you got another one for Mr. Ollett?
Yes. So, Mr. Ollett, I'm sure you're kept very busy in your role with lots of duties, but you also mentioned your passion for teaching business management. Is there something perhaps behind this, maybe managing your affairs, managing business?
You know what, Jared? It's funny because a bit is made of that at Xavier. It's probably not business management, so per se, if I was being absolutely truthful in front of, you know, the millions of people that listen to Zav Chat every week, it's probably economics is my true passion in terms of my teaching. But I always say I didn't go to uni to become a director of senior school. I went to uni to become a teacher. The thing I love about being in the classroom is it quarantines an hour every day where I've got nothing but just being with students and listening to them share their passion for a particular area. So I certainly love the area that I teach. I just enjoy it. It's something that I had a career in, as you know, before I became a teacher. So I feel like I've got some life experience that I can share in that. But just watching our students learn, watching them sort of, you know, watching their eyes light up on a particular topic, that's what it is. It's about being in a classroom with students. That's what I love about it the most.
So I might chip in with one more, Bill, and then I'll come back to you. In your leadership role, has that changed much this year with 400 or 500 extra boys down there in that fantastic new Costco building?
Yeah, definitely it has. Definitely it has. Very lucky to have a fantastic team here leading year 7 and 8, obviously with Michael Allcroft at the head of that. Yeah, it really has. I've loved that though. Like, it's, you have to shift how you're working with our young people, with our boys, and just change some of the language and the way that you nuance information, obviously. But I think what's been, if you were to then, your next question would to be what's been the most enjoyable part of it. It's been being able to more closely work with the staff that have come up from Burke Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, just obviously they're people I've known, people I've loved for a long period of time. But it'd be fair to say in my role, because Jared said it's busy, they're not probably members of staff that I've known as intimately as those up at the senior school. And so to watch the integration between the senior school staff and the Burke Hall staff's probably been this thing that I've loved the most.
Okay. Bill.
And Michael, maybe just a last one from me. You know, there's plenty of shifts occurring, not only at Xavier, but globally, and we're being challenged to maybe think in new ways about education. You know, we've reflected, we had a wonderful careers evening that we shared with Loretto. Beautiful to have our male and female presenters and modelling into our boys. But you could see them looking into a workforce that's, you know, that's really significantly changing. So just wondering, you know, with your radar, having been, you know, some decades in education, you know, what do you think's at the frontier of education at the moment? You know, maybe what's our next challenge? Things that we should be thinking about, or that keep you awake at night, you know, dreaming about what's possible.
Do you know, funny, on Friday night of last week, I was at a comedy show in Adelaide, and I got picked out of the crowd by the comedian.
Oh.
And he was talking in a very funny way about AI. And he asked me in front of everyone what I thought of AI. And I was really put on the spot, really put on the spot. And I talked about how I think it's really good because it's helpful. And so I think one of the really key things that keeps me up at night is how we'll continue to use technology, but in a really useful way for boys in education. I think that the fact that we can marry up the way in which boys think with the way in which artificial intelligence can assist them to gather information is something that is going to be really positive. So it doesn't keep me up in the sense of worrying me at night, but it keeps me up in the sense of how do we continue to foster it and get the boys to use it in a really positive way.
And it's really interesting, Mark, when you say that, because you overlay with that then that sense of depth and that sense of questioning. So we've got so much data and so much information, and AI now plays its role in throwing that in front of our boys, but it's the question they ask.
Yep.
And the preparedness to challenge the information they get.
Absolutely.
Are we rigorous with that? Have we asked the right questions to actually get truth or depth in the
That's how, and that's how we use it. I used it in class last year where I asked the boys to do a whole lot of information, and I said, you can only spend 15 minutes on your homework. And they looked at me really bemused, and then they worked out themselves that this guy is saying we can go and use ChatGPT to do this piece of homework. And they came back in the next day, and then the whole lesson was about what's real in this, what's not real in this, and how do we use it and what do we not use.
Fascinating.
And that's the depth of a Jesuit education,
isn't it?
Where that's an inbuilt component. So, Jared, we should probably... Sorry, Heels, I'm cutting in for your job. Should we go to the skipper and go around the grounds? It's a pretty big week ahead.
I think we should. This will be one of our biggest, I think, of our around the grounds. And we might even ask Michael to be a bit a part of this, because it's a very, very big week next week when we get there. So over to you, Jared.
Definitely. Thanks, Heels. And great, it's been a fantastic term, and I think a fantastic episode as well. And so to wrap up this term, we've had a few things going on this week with some great stuff still to come. So of course, we had the end of our World's Greatest Shave campaign last week, and as I said, there were over 100 boys shaving. And the senior campus did, in fact, reach its $100,000 goal on Thursday, which was fantastic. And yeah, it was a tremendous effort. And so on Monday this week, 2 days ago, we had the APS swimming and diving finals day. So very well done to all those boys, and some great future prospects as well. Yesterday, we also hosted Genazzano, our sister school, in an exhibition debate at lunchtime in the EPAC. So that was great fun for all the boys, and we got a great turnout as well. So hopefully some more boys are getting into debating.
And then complemented that with the dancing that night. So the year 10 dancing on as well. So
big day.
Congratulations to those students who partook in that program.
That's right. And today we've got a rector's assembly, or is it a senior campus? I don't know. But
the latter.
The latter, yeah. And I think we're being joined by the CEO of the World's Greatest Shave Foundation. So a great assembly in the making already. And we've got our last voluntary mass of the term this Friday as well, following up from a great one last week. And on Thursday night, there will be a past parents night hosted here at the college. So a great one to attend for all those who are available.
Mr. Ollett, a big week next week as we tip into what has traditionally been called Activities Week, but I think it's slightly more expanded now. Do you want to just give us an insight there?
Yeah, no, great week to end the term next week. We've got Year 12s who are away on their spirituality retreat, their final spirituality retreat, and then have a fantastic student-led Wellbeing Day and Careers Day. Our 11s are in probably one of our most significant programs of the year, Social Awareness Week, where all the students are out in community working in different organisations. Year 10 off on camp to various locations around Victoria and what is always a fantastic experience. And our Year 9s are spending the week in a co-educational program in Melbourne CBD, looking at social awareness and social justice in a real landscape in Melbourne. And 7s and 8s have a hybrid program next week where they're looking at a whole host of areas from cybersecurity, from health and fitness through to social justice as well. So big week at the school next week to end the term.
That's an amazing week, to be honest, when you hear the absolute breadth of all the things that are happening. And do we mention Jazz in the Rig coming up Friday night, Jared?
Yes, that's Friday night, and it's Jazz in the Rig making
always,
its return this year.
Always a good
great
show.
Night.
Fantastic. I will unfortunately miss this one, Hills, because I'm lucky enough to get up to our rowers and obviously head of the river at the Gambie on Saturday. So I admire their dedication to that sport. It's quite it's rigorous, but they get so much out of it, and they're beautifully led. And there's a wonderful atmosphere in the sheds as well. So best wishes to every rower in their last row for the season.
Absolutely. And we're hoping to get Tom Abramowski on during the second term to look back on the term. I spoke to a couple of the boys in the first eight yesterday, and they're quietly confident that they can put on a really good showing.
Absolutely. They've beaten every crew this year. And yet it's I think it's a really open field. So it'll be a very competitive heat that they're in. There's four who can go through. There's only three spots available. So we're really looking forward to it. And that sort of match racing, when it's on the line, let's hope our boys come through, because they've got the character for it.
Well, we're touching wood there. And Bill, before we finish, it's probably appropriate to talk about the new uniform that's coming, because parents will very soon hear about this.
Correct. So that's the new sports uniform. So nothing is changing with our magnificent red and black blazer and our academic uniform. But at the beginning of the year, people know that we have refreshed our PE and general sports top. We're phasing that in over the course of this year. But today we launch out, and correspondence will be going out to all families in the next 48 hours, and new sports uniforms. So that's our APS representative uniforms. There's an enormous amount of research that's gone into this, going back into the archives of the college. The expert team who have come in and consulted with us were blown away by Catherine Hall and our archives, and just the depth of information that came out. I think they've got a really good grasp of the generations and the decades of how things have evolved and things have how been very consistent as well. There's been wonderful engagement with students and with parents in little focus groups, and so we're quite proud of bringing a real consistency, building on the traditions of our sport, but also having a really lovely uniform and sharp look across all of our representative teams. So,
and Michael and I have had the chance to have a look at these, along with a few others. I've got to say, personally, I think it looks fantastic. Michael, would you
agree?
Yeah,
I think it's the process has been fantastic, and the way in which it links the past to the next steps for Xavier, I think, is the hallmark of the exercise.
There's a lovely element here where there's a consistency through all teams, no matter whether you're the firsts or whether you're in the Ds or the sixths. There's a real linkage, and yet just some signature little touches and things that draw right back to the core of a Jesuit education as well. So can't wait to share that document, and it will be in Bob Stewart as we speak, and looking forward to getting it launched out and seeing our teams in it in the winter sports.
So a fantastic addition. Michael, thanks for being part of it. Michael Eilert, our Director of Senior School, and Jared, your last game of cricket for Xavier this weekend.
Right.
So good luck.
Bittersweet.
Bring it home with a win.
It'd be special, Jared. So, yeah, best wishes there, and also then looking forward to our Holy Week coming through. So.
And next week, Jared's organised a couple of boys who've been on recent immersions. That'll be a wonderful last episode of Term 1. And I do get to the end too often without thanking the brilliant Michael Trappett, our producer. So, Michael, you're in my eyesight there, so thank you. And, folks, we've got one more episode for Term 1, so we'll look forward to talking to you 7 days hence.